Friend, welcome back to Fig and Farm at Home. I am so glad you're here. If you listened last week, you would have heard a preview that I kind of had a fangirl moment with this guest that I'm featuring today. I mean, when you hear the credentials, I think you would have had a fangirl moment too. Oh, I cannot wait to introduce you to my guest today and new design bestie, Michael and Smith. Michael and Smith, also known as The Nester, is the New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author of Welcome Home and Cozy Minimalist Home. For the past 15 years, she has been encouraging women to embrace their space, imperfections and all, and make it their own. Her home in North Carolina has been featured in Better Homes and Gardens, Ladies Home Journal, and Cottages and Bungalows. She's never met a home that she hasn't loved. Today, we are inviting you into our conversation all about this lovely little perspective she has on plants. How to bring plants into your home in a way that doesn't break the bank and shifts the perspective on using real versus fake. I'm excited to have you listen in on today's conversation. Enjoy the show. We grew up with the phrase, home is where the heart is, but our culture has shifted and now the message is, home should be Pinterest perfect. I'm calling BS on that message. Home, it's not about the stuff, it's about the story. And whether you know it or not, your home is a reflection of you and is already saying something. So what is it that you want it to say? Hey, I'm Danny, a former first grade teacher turned home decorator. Going from a dual income to a single income so I could stay home with my babies meant budget, like ramen eating, Goodwill shopping budget. And I learned a few things along the way. Like how to bring big style to your home without breaking the bank. And I'm sharing it all with you. Tips, tricks, decor, and design advice so you can learn to tell your story with your style. Where you can start living free from the Pinterest perfect trap and start living a life of intention. Welcome to Fig and Farm at Home, where we design happy living and where it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. Hi, Michael, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Danny. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's really my pleasure to have this chance to chat with you. I know my listeners are going to be so thrilled to be able to hear what you have to say on the topic we're talking about today. But before we dive in, I want you to introduce yourself to all of my people.
Oh, absolutely. My name is Mike Willen Smith. I have such a weird first name, has a Q in it, that when I started on the internet, I used a pretend name, The Nester, and it just kind of stuck. You know, it was like back in the Stone Age of the internet, you feel like everyone's a killer and you don't know if you can use your real name.
Right.
Online, I'm The Nester, The Nesting Place, but I love talking everything home. And I really am a teacher. I like to figure out why some things look weird and other things look great when they're together. And my goal is to help women create the home they've always wanted, not so they can impress their friends or their sister-in-law, no one cares about that, but so we can just use our home, so we can enjoy it, so we can be the one to volunteer to host the baby shower. I mean, honestly, so we can just kind of forget about our house. The goal is just to enjoy it and have it work for us. I am an imperfectionist, I'm a cozy minimalist, and I never met a home that I didn't love.
Oh, I love that. You said two things that I think are fascinating. Now, we're not going to talk about this today, but I love that you are an imperfectionist because I think so many of my listeners feel like with all of the images on Instagram and Pinterest, things have to be perfect and they don't. No. And they also think too, like I don't want to bring people over because I'm embarrassed of my home. And knowing that you're an imperfectionist, I'm an imperfectionist too, is just so relieving when you can just release that burden and say, welcome yes. In, here we are. I'm saying yes to book club. I'm saying yes to hosting this thing. It's going to be wonderful.
Yeah. Imperfections have power. We're not going to talk about it, but I am going to say this. They do exactly what you just said. They put people at ease when yes. We're around people that pretend to be perfect. It's uncomfortable when we're in homes that look perfect. It's kind of scary. And like, we feel like we can't, if we drop our wine, we're going to ruin something expensive. So to be the person in your friend group that goes first and says, welcome into the imperfection yeah. is such a great role to play. I hope to always be that person. And you know, the images that we see online, it's comparing your house and its lived in state to whatever you see on Instagram, know that it's been styled. It has been filmed at the right time of day. It's like comparing our selfie to someone's wedding photo, which we would never do. But for some reason with our home, I do it too. We still all kind of secretly do that.
Right, exactly. I tell my listeners all the time, you don't know what's behind the camera. Like there's Cheeto dust, there's all the toys, there's all the stuff that they just forgot to put in the junk drawer.
Yep, oh, totally.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, I feel like we could talk about that forever, but today we're going to talk about plants. And I know when I'm working with a client, there's a lot of reservation and hesitation about this idea of bringing in plants. For me, I prefer live rather than fake. I think it just adds so much character and whimsy and loveliness to it. But I want to hear your take because you have a really fun perspective on plants. So take it away.
Oh, yay. Well, I love plants as well. I think it was, you know, maybe 20 years ago when I noticed that all of the rooms that I was pinning on Pinterest, they all had something in common, and that was greenery. They all had plants, and most of them had a real live potted plant. Some had clippings like from out in the yard, a big branch. Some had, you know, flowers that they ordered. But for the most part, a lot of them had plants, and I'm not talking like tiny little plants. They had established plants that looked like someone had cared for them for a few years and kept them alive. And I thought, gosh, if those plants were missing out of the room, it would be noticeable. Like it wouldn't look as good. I might not have pinned this photo. And so using that, and then even just being out and about, like being in the Home Depot nursery and realizing a large plant, like I can get a large plant for $21.99. That's not bad. So I agree with you. You know, I love live plants, and it's not because we're against fake plants, but the truth is fake plants usually don't look good. Like a lot of times we resort to fake plants because, first of all, for some reason, we think that the goal of a plant is to keep it alive forever. So we think, well, I can't buy that $12 plant because one day it will die.
Yeah.
Like, no. We have to reframe our thinking. The goal is not to keep it alive forever. Like every plant I own is on its way toward death. Right. I want you to enjoy it while we're together. And so one of the things that I do that's kind of helped me change my perspective on plant is I do plant math. So it's kind of like, you know, when we, if you watch any of the style girls on YouTube or Instagram, you know, they'll be like, I bought these leather boots, and then they calculate their cost per use because they're expensive leather boots, but they wear them a lot, or your bag. I think it's the same with plants. Like if we think about our cost per day of enjoyment, if you buy a $12 plant and let's say you can keep it alive for 6 months, like most of us can 6 months, we can keep it alive. Well, that's $2 a month. That's 50 cents a week. That's less than 10 cents a day. Like when you do it like that and you get to enjoy it every day, you know, you cannot buy baby's breath from the grocery store for that amount. And so it can change your perspective. And a fake plant, although a good idea, it's not faking any of us out. If it is, it's going to be more than the live plant as far as its cost. Like a good fake plant, as you know, costs money. That's why every now and then you'll see a tree that's pretend and it costs over $1,000 because it's actually good enough to fool people. That is the goal with your pretend plants.
Right.
You're supposed to fool us. I remember reading something, you might have seen this blog post too, from Joanna Gaines. It was so good. She talked about how she makes her fake plants look good. And one of the things she does, she puts them in like real soil with, and mixes them, some real and some pretend, like in a big succulent bowl or something. And so I do think there are things you can do, but the things that you can do are almost more trouble than just getting a live plant and saying, the goal isn't to keep it alive. The goal is to like find my matchmaking compatible plant and figure out between me and my watering skills and habits and my house and its natural light and how, you know, the humidity is and this plant and its needs. Let's see if the three of us get along. And practicing with a $12 or $21 plant, no, do not go out and buy the $499 tree if you're just getting started. But there's so many simple ways to baby step your way into the magical world of plants.
Yes. Okay. I have my tips. I want to know if you were to say, start with these two plants because they're going to be like, stay away from the fiddle leaf figs, right? They had their moment on Pinterest. Those poor things, those divas were bought and then died. But there are some that are really easy that you can start with. Which ones would you recommend?
You're not going to like me. I don't try to get to know my plants. I don't know their names. Everyone asks for links and I'm like, I don't know. Do you know what I do? I go to my local stores and whatever looks okay and whatever I read on the thing, I just bring it home. And I think part of my, you know, it's how like farmers don't name their pigs. How I am with my plants. I'm like, I don't want to get too attached. I'm not going to like research you and know. So I maybe this is a kangaroo fern. I don't know what it is. It's like got really soft. It's not a rabbit's foot, but I have a few of these and they do well in my house.
Okay.
Again, I don't do a lot of research. I just know it was cheap.
Yeah.
I've been able to keep it alive for a year. So then I bought another one.
Okay.
And so I have a few of those. But I want to hear what yours are.
Okay. Well, really quickly behind you, does it flower?
No. Well, not under me. Maybe it would. Do you want me to put it over?
Yes, I would. It looks like a Christmas cactus to me.
Oh, it's not.
It's not. Okay. Oh, yes. Yep. I do know what that is.
A blue star fern? Does that sound right?
Yep. That sounds about right. Oh, I love it. And I love that. Here's my top two. My
top
two that I always say, you know what? Go and get these because I know you're reluctant. But you can keep these alive. Also, I believe in plant math too.
I'm going to write this down. Okay.
Yes, okay.
We're all getting our pins.
Yes, we are. Okay. Pothos. Pothos is so forgiving. It is just, even if it breaks off, you put it in a little soil, it doesn't really need a whole lot of light and it's going to do well for you. Also, it communicates to you. It lets you know when it needs water. I mean, it will literally kind of roll its leaves a little bit and you know, hey, my little guy needs water. So you don't have to have some unmanageable schedule every Wednesday or anything like that. It just tells you.
Oh, that is excellent. Okay. Number two.
Okay. Number two is the Sansevieria, which is the snake plant or the mother-in-law's tongue. Do you know this
one? Oh, I have some of those. Yeah. Excellent.
And that one is so good because it is, I mean, it is harder to kill than keep alive, I think. It's one of those that you just, I set it and forget it. It can literally live in my bathroom. It's not going to be temperamental. And I might water it every month. It is just that low maintenance.
Yes.
So
yes.
Always my top two.
Very good.
Yeah.
I have the snake plant and I love that it's sharp and pointy. I like what it adds to a room. If you have lots of circles happening or lots of horizontal, it adds that sharp, pointy look, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in design, you probably do that contrasting shape and thing too. Like even the one behind you, it is just so wispy and playful and fun. It's, you know, contrasting with your couch that's right behind you.
Exactly right. Yeah, I got a lot of straight lines happening back there.
Absolutely. Oh, and all the things that we have to keep in mind when we're decorating.
That we get to keep in mind, right?
Yes, that we get to keep in mind. Okay, so where do you find your plants? I know where I find mine. Where do
okay.
you find yours?
I find mine. Okay, my two favorite places to find plants, or that I found the plants that I've been really happy with recently. One is my local Ingles grocery store. They have a really great plant section. They get them from local North Carolina people. My favorite plants that I've bought there have been terrariums, and they have the lid.
Yeah.
They have this beautiful glass, and they're already like, I just replaced one of the plants last week, but I've had both of my terrariums for 2 years, and I got them from my local grocery store, which has
I
been
love that.
Amazing. And then the second place where I've had, I only bought one plant from there, was Facebook Marketplace. So a lady had a ficus tree that was like leaning. It was on her front porch. And she said, it got too big for my house. It's 8 feet tall. Someone with taller ceilings needs to get it. And this was like, plant math is one way I do my plants. And then the other way is kind of like this high stakes method. I was like, you know what? I've aged out. Like, I'm ready for the next echelon of plant care. I'm going to invest $100 and have my husband go pick up this tree an hour away, because I knew that would force me to figure it out. And it did. So I'm like looking at him. He's right next to my side. I've had him for a year and a half. I've kept him alive. I've repotted him. And I have a beautiful plant that someone else cared for a long time. And I just found him on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, and do you know his name?
No, it's just some kind of ficus.
Oh.
My light is in the way, but he's very happy.
And he does need the tall, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And I had good luck with ficuses before because I never cared. I was like, well, whatever. But now I am on a routine with him, and I do feed him and I water him, and he gets all the light he ever wanted, and we're happily ever after.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that, because that can be actually really tricky, especially if you like inherit a plant. You know,
Yes.
there's a little bit of pressure there. So when you're taking on that, not burden, the honor of rehoming, adopting a plant that was once loved so much.
Well, and I'll tell you, I made a mistake when I first got him, because I was like, I want this plant in my family room, which is north facing and with a porch overhang. He got 1% of light and it was like autumn. He lost all the leaves. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to put him in my office, south facing, two beautiful windows, and he came back to life. But it was the fact that I had invested money. If it was smaller or cheaper, I probably wouldn't have cared. So I was glad I forced myself. Okay, I went through your two places.
Okay, so IKEA is number one. Do you have an IKEA near you?
I do, yes.
Yeah, so, and that is where I get my pothos and my Sansevieria. They also have, it's kind of in the same family as, you know, the little spikies. They have little other little spikies. And my thought here is this: when you are able to keep plants alive in IKEA, and now they're just on grow lights, you are able to keep them alive in your home. So
that is so good. That's excellent.
Yeah. And I
IKEA can do it. We can do it.
Yes, I can do it. And there are people thumbing through it. They don't get watered every day. I've never been in and seen anyone water the plants ever.
Oh my gosh. That is excellent. That's a great tip.
Yeah. Now I have a shop. I have a local shop. And so my shop, that my retail space, doesn't have any windows in it. And so I bring those IKEA plants into there for my greenery. And they, you know, every once in a while, I do have to do the plant math there. Every once in a while, I have to replace it, but it adds a whole lot of character. So
that's
IKEA.
So good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And then number two, this is just a shout out to someone local, but he is, he has a cute little greenhouse in our area. It's a small town. And, you know, there, he puts stuff on his like front lawn.
Oh,
So
love it.
He is one of those, Michael, in that you go in and, you know, he used to take cash, and I would never carry cash with me. He would allow me to pick out my plants, take them home, and come back another day to pay him.
That's so sweet. That's the best.
I love it. I love it. But otherwise, I will go to Walmart or Lowe's, and my favorite places inside of there aren't actually in the full price place. I like to go to the, I need a little bit of help, and I'm drastically reduced price wise, because they need help anyway. They're going to be on their way out. I like to figure out what they need in order to bring them back to life, and
Oh, good.
make a lot of money that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, those are great tips.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic. I'm taking so many notes.
Yes. Oh, good. Okay. Now here's another question for you. So we have these lovely plants that we just bought. We're taking the risk. We're saying, you know what? I'm trusting you two girls. We're going to do the plant math. We're bringing it in. Now, they come in really ugly containers. They come in plastic pots.
Yes.
What are your best tips for, you know, helping that plant out just a little bit?
Oh, it's my favorite. Yes, the plant comes in their nursery pot. That's their underwear. And so we don't want our plants sitting out in their underwear. Now, I don't know about you, but I keep my plant in its nursery pot until it begs for mercy, like until roots are like coming out and saying, please, please repot me. But you never want it to sit out in your house in its underwear. So you always want to pair it with a container, which is like my favorite part of plants, is that you also, you know, my mom might have a ficus in her house, but her container makes the style totally different. And then I get to choose a container that looks cool in my, you know, I have an old Victorian house. And so maybe I want something really modern and funky. And if I have my spiky with my modern funky, or if I have something rounded, like back here, I just have kind of a simple urn. Like, I think it's so fun to kind of match the personality, or even contrast the personality of your plant with the container. Over here, I've got a tree with like a skinny trunk, and he's in a really tall urn. And I love that kind of juxtaposition. So I think, to me, the container part is like, it's a fun matchmaking part of having a plant too. What do you think?
Yeah. And it's like, I think it's like, you know, you're going out for date night, right? And you know, you're a lot of effort into what you're wearing, your makeup. And then the planter for me is like the heels. It is the,
ooh, that's good.
I want to make sure that it is, speaking my name, it's saying what my aesthetic is, and it's complementing or contrasting in the appropriate way. So love that. Where do you source those?
I have two favorite places. I don't know if you guys have the at-home store where you live.
Yeah.
Do. They are fantastic for large, inexpensive containers. And then my other favorite place is just like antique malls. I love vintage urns and different. I love urns. Like I could have every plant in an urn if possible. That's my favorite. So those are mine. How about you?
Yeah, so I totally agree with you with the vintage. I would say antique malls, but I really like going thrifting in just a thrift store. So I will often, and I'm so used to that, I go really quick. I know exactly which aisles I'm going in, and there we go. It will usually call my name before I see it. But I agree about the at home, but I also like Hobby Lobby. I think Hobby
Oh,
Lobby
okay.
has some really
Yeah.
fun ones. And the tip about Hobby Lobby is that if it's not on sale this week, it will be on sale next week.
You're exactly right.
Don't need the 40% coupon anymore. You know, they just make sales. Yeah.
That's
Awesome.
good.
Oh, well, my goodness. Do you have any other plant tips for us or any other ways that in your home you've applied plant math to other principles in your home? Do you have any other tips like that?
Well, I will learn. I will say that, both you and I, we love beauty. Our listeners, we love vignettes. And I've gotten to the point now where if I am styling a coffee table or a surface, obviously if it's a surface, I'm going to have it, see if I need a lamp and I might have wall art. But for everything else, if it's like a mantle or if it's a coffee table, the greens are the very first thing I add. So whether that is a lot of times I'll like baby step my way into knowing if a location is a place where I need a plant by going out in the yard and foraging and cutting something, sticking it in a basin of water, and putting that in a place as like a temporary, oh, how will this feel with a plant? Here's a free way to do it. But that's always what I start with on almost every surface. Like, so every surface in my house that's decorated has a plant on it, and then maybe other layers from there. But I just think it's just a no-brainer way to begin, styling. Then you have your stack of books, then you have your interesting object or whatever it is. But that's always how I start, is with the green.
I love that. Absolutely. And I like that you just mentioned you go out and forage for a little bit because there's some sort of rationale that I think we can make that says, oh, I can go gather it. Absolutely. It'll take a little bit of time. But, we know that's going to die, right? That's going to die like next week. The plant,
Right.
the $12 plant that we experiment with, isn't. It's going to last a lot longer. I like that tip though, to go out and just get some greens if you're not going to rearrange what you already have in your home, to go out and just see what you like right there. I think that's,
Absolutely.
yeah. So if I were standing, let's just play a game here. I'm in right now your guest room or your office. And
Yeah.
if I were in your common space, maybe your dining room, living room, kitchen, how many plants would I see?
You're going to probably see at least three plants from every seat.
Okay.
So, if you're in my family room, I do have it is because it's north facing and we have built-ins. I have some preserved asparagus fern. So, that does
Oh,
not live or die. It's just there, but it was alive at some point. And I do have a nice silk caladium that looks exactly, everyone is like, is that real? So, that's how I know it's good. So, I do have a pretend plant in there, but I have three other plants in there. In my kitchen, I've got one really big, like rubber tree looking thing. I have another ficus. I have a little plant in my window. I have a plant in my sink. And then I have two terrariums. I have many plants, but I don't want it to feel jungly. So in
yeah.
here, I've got a tree, and then this plant behind me. And then in my bathroom, I have a plant in the bathtub. I've got like a little, it's an old clawfoot tub with like
Oh,
a
cool.
tray, like a metal tray. In the tray is a plant. And then over by the sink, I have a plant. So as many places as possible without it feeling like a boho jungle. Like I don't want to, I'm not Hilton Carter. I don't want plants everywhere. I want just enough.
Right, exactly. I like that. You mentioned this twice now, the terrarium. Tell us a little bit more. I know what you're talking about, but maybe my listeners don't. So tell me what you might find within that. Because I'm picturing a cloche. Is that what you're putting?
Yes, it is. And with a lid. And the ones I so a terrarium is going to be any kind of enclosed. I mean, really, what is it like a scientific term that like sometimes you have like lizards and stuff in, but you
Yeah.
can put plants in it. And sometimes they seal them shut because it's like its own little environment. So they will put layers of like soil and gravel and moss and then little plants, and they mist it and give it enough water. And then some people will seal it up forever and never open it. And it has its own climate. You'll see them sometimes on, you know, Instagram. This man has this terrarium for 50 years and he's never done anything to it. They just grow. Well, my local Ingles has, it's like a big cloche with a jar, like a jar with a lid on and a foot. Now mine, the lids come off very easily and they have a little hole.
Okay.
Which I'm not crazy about because then I have to water them.
Okay.
But I water them about once every 6 months and they have a little array of plants and they just kind of grow. It's like their own little jungle, their own little world. When my boys were young, I had a big, we called it a terrarium. I don't know what it was. It was like a big metal stand with an enclosed glass, like Victorian, like 1 foot cube. And we planted plants in it. And then they got their dinosaurs out. We put all their dinosaurs in it and we watered them. And if they found a snail or a lizard, God forbid, they did put lizards in it.
Hopefully not a snake.
Not a snake. Okay. So it didn't close, but that was like a fun little thing to do with my boys when they were younger. But yeah, now it's like this little living thing that I can go on vacation. I could go to Jupiter and come back and it would still be alive. And that's the lowest level of plant maintenance. Oh,
and you know what? You didn't put that on your list. You should put that on your list of the lowest maintenance. I love
You're
that.
Right. You should have. Oh my gosh. That's what everyone should get. Now I have an answer when people, because people ask me that and I'm like, yeah, whatever, but you're right, terrarium.
And you know what I would say, put not on your list. People think succulents are super easy. And I say, don't even bother with that because you have to be very specific with how you water those.
I don't think I have any succulents. I do have a cactus, but
yeah,
I don't have any succulents. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times people just drown them. Because I think they wanted to water them appropriately, but they
drowned. Very good. That's good to have a not list.
Yes, a not list. Okay, you've mentioned one other thing, and you don't know this about me, but I have three boys as well.
Oh, and
so it is so much fun. I know, but here's one other thing, and you don't know this question is coming, but I bet you've gotten this before, and that is, you know, I get a lot of reservations with people who don't want to decorate because they have children, or specifically boys, because boys are hard on things, as you probably know, I definitely know. But what would you say to that person who might be saying, I'm going to just wait till they're grown and gone before I do anything to my home?
I'm going to bossy big sister them and say you're looking for excuses.
Oh, yeah.
Young men, little boys, can be told to respect a surface, and they also need lots of room to play. I mean, our kids rollerbladed inside, they did hockey inside, they rode their bikes inside, they made forts with the sofas, but they also had to be taught like to respect things and what spaces are when. And I always had the little kid, my boys all grew up with the kitchen and the food and, you know, yeah, the little kid table next to the big table and all of that. And I'm a mom who loves toys. I love toys probably more than my kids do. So I wanted toys everywhere as well, but they can easily learn, don't touch that when they're very young. They can learn what areas, you know, they have reign over. I think to wait until they grow up, like what? I don't even understand that. So my boys so appreciate, they all read my books. Oh. You know, they to their dorm and they're like, Mom, I need lamps. It looks creepy in here. I want cozy lighting and help me pick out my bed. Like they all get it. They want their rooms to look nice. They care. There's not a myth. Like women are not the only people that care. Right. Men and boys notice and care as well. And they will appreciate it and love it if you go ahead and decorate your house.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're spot on in this idea that even little ones can appreciate it. I remember sending my husband to his parents for the weekend with the three boys. And I thought, this is the perfect time for me to refresh my space. Just a little refresh. The minute they walked in, my middle son, he was, Mom, he got so excited. And I think he was like 10 years old. He was so excited about something that wasn't even, but they notice. And I think they appreciate it. And there's pride in ownership, right?
Yeah. We underestimate the effect. I mean, environment is the invisible hand that shapes human behavior, says James Clear. And we all know it's true. It doesn't matter if we have little 7-year-old boys 15-year-old boys, young women, whatever it is, it affects all of us and they notice and they appreciate it and you're doing a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, 100%. Okay. Well, I know you also mentioned one other thing that we're going to talk about, because you have something very exciting coming up and I'm so excited for you. But you mentioned your books and I know there's one on the way. So can you tell my listeners all about the new book that you have coming, and even tell us about the old ones, because I know that they're going to want to go check them out.
Thank you. I would love to. So my fourth book is releasing on April 23rd. It's called House Rules, written by a girl who doesn't really like rules, but I've learned anything worth learning, any skill, which decorating is actually a skill that anyone can learn. Any skill has universal truths behind it. And a lot of those things are the things that we say, oh, they were born with a decorating gene, or we think someone was naturally good at something. And really all it is they figured out those rules before any of us did. And they probably couldn't even verbalize the rules. They just know them like in their heart.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. I wrote a book of 100 decorating truths, like contrast is queen, if you want to be seen, things like that, that are memorable, that are a little weird and quirky. What it is, it's not a book of like, you should be doing this. It's a troubleshooting book. Like if you're frustrated with your living room, pick up this book, flip through the 100 rules. You're going to open it to a page and figure out like, oh, you know, threes, please. I'm not repeating something in my room three times. Or, oh, plant math. Like I've been thinking about plants all wrong. So it's a mindset shift. It's very encouraging. It applies to every home, any style, any budget. It's a bossy big sister, Enneagram 5 girl who really is curious about why some things look good together and other things look weird together. And there is a logical reason. And I can tell you that reason why in House Rules.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good. And you know what? I think we must be sisters, honestly, because I have such a similar approach that rules, I'm actually a rule follower by nature, but not in home decorating. I think there are boundaries. I think there are guidelines, but I think those rules are meant to be broken. But we do want to know why, when you walk into your home, something looks a little wonky. It looks funky and janky. And what is it? And I bet it's there in your book. And that's so exciting.
Absolutely. You know, the first rule is learn the rules so you can break them beautifully. And I believe that, but I want people to break the rules because they know their room is going to be better, not because they don't know better. And there is such a difference in our own psyche when we are making decisions with confidence, or when we're just making a decision and like, I have no idea. This book is going to give you so much confidence.
Oh, that is so good. Because I think that's honestly what a lot of people lack is, you know, they go into even simple stores like we're talking about, at home or Hobby Lobby or Target or wherever, and there's so many choices to be made. It's hard to be confident when you are staring down 3,000 pillows in a 2 mile
yes.
radius. It's so hard to be confident.
It is. You're right.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to read your book. This is going to be so fantastic.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Can I have you back on my show sometime?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Isn't Michaelyn just the cutest? Our conversation was so much fun. I hope you enjoyed being a little fly on the wall as we got to talk all about changing our perspective on plants. This idea of plant math and being able to enjoy it, if we really break it down day by day, it really turns out to not be a huge investment. And then don't forget about getting your plants out of their underwear. Oh my goodness, I'd never heard that before, but it makes sense. It totally makes sense, and I absolutely love it. We'll never forget that. All right, friend, if you are interested in learning about her other house rules, I have linked her book inside of the show notes. I know I, for one, cannot wait to dive in. I'll link the other books that she's written as well. All right, friend, until next time, I'll see you soon.
Hey, real quick before you go, if you learned something new or found value in today's podcast, would you head over to iTunes to Fig and Farm at Home and leave a review and subscribe to the show? That would be awesome. And if you'd like to connect with my community of mamas who are learning to be intentional storytellers within their own homes, join us at bit.ly/design101group. There's always more room at the table. See you soon.